You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I can't think of a more exciting time to be alive. Of all the times in history that God could have put me, I thank Him that He put me in the 1990s. Now that doesn't mean that I understand everything that's going on these days. I don't. I feel especially ignorant when it comes to all the intricacies of modern technology. For example, I still don't know how to set a digital clock. When the power goes off during the night, all the digital clocks in our house are blinking early in the morning when I wake up. I don't know how to set them. We ask one of the children to do that for us. In the same way, I don't have the foggiest idea of how to program a VCR to record a television show when we're gone from the house. A lot of other people in this world know how to program their VCRs. I don't. There are a lot of things that I don't understand about the 1990s, but still, I think that this is an exciting time to be alive. These are times of great wonder. Of all the things that excite my wonder and admiration, the most amazing is this. The great God calls me to life, to freedom, to glory. And as He calls me, so He calls you. The Spirit of God calls us to a marvelous life in Jesus Christ. With all the technological marvels of our era, we still have death. Technology may prolong life, but it will never eliminate death. I'm not speaking only about physical death, the death that brings us to funeral homes and cemeteries. I'm speaking about something even more terrible. Beyond physical death lurks the horrible reality of eternal death in hell. That's a terrible prospect to consider. To be forever separated from God and His wonderful goodness. What so amazes me, and I hope amazes you, is that the Spirit of God calls us to life in Jesus Christ. What the marvels of technology cannot offer, the Spirit of God calls you to receive in the good news about Jesus Christ. On Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ suffered the eternal death that our sins have earned. As St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. But then Paul adds, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Since Jesus has done that, the Spirit of God is calling you and me to life in Christ. The Spirit also calls you to freedom. Bondage is the usual order of the day. Technology offers us freedom, but we find ourselves beholden to machines and computers. We have our debts and obligations due to people. All that can be so oppressive. On top of the often unbearable burden, there is the greatest debt, our bondage to sin and death and Satan. It's the kind of bill that you and I could never pay off, no matter how long we would live and no matter how good we would try to be. We sinners simply cannot set ourselves free. Only Jesus can do that for you. Jesus says in John chapter 8, I tell you the absolute truth. Everyone who keeps on sinning is a slave to sin. If the Son sets you free, you will certainly be free. The Holy Spirit calls you to the freedom of knowing your sins are forgiven. One day that freedom we Christians know in our hearts will be manifest throughout all creation. St. Paul says in Romans 8 that this created world also will be freed from the slavery of decay in order to share the freedom of glory with the children of God. What a wondrous call! With God's gift of life and freedom in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God calls you to glory. St. Paul says in that same 8th chapter of Romans, I consider our present sufferings to be unimportant when I compare them with a glory soon to be revealed to us. That glory to be revealed to you and me is the glory of God, the brilliance of the great Creator of heaven and earth, the splendor of him who is far greater than any human mind can comprehend. And yet he who was pleased to shine in our hearts with the knowledge of his glory in the gospel of Christ, with such glory, with such freedom, with such life offered to us in the good news about Jesus Christ, I can't think of any more wonderful time to live than right now. Sure, I don't know how to set a digital clock or how to program a VCR. It hasn't been too long since I learned how the microwave works. But all the marvels of modern technology are nothing compared to the wonder that God has called me to life, to freedom, to glory in Jesus Christ. He's called me, and he calls you, too. You and I are living in an unprecedented time in the history of the world. And that also means that there are new challenges to the proclamation of life, freedom, and glory in Jesus Christ. Challenges that previous generations did not encounter. Certainly one of the most serious challenges to the call of the gospel is the fact that we are surrounded today by so many technological wonders that we have become numb to the things that are most important. And now this. You've heard that phrase. It's often used by television newscasters. The news anchor reports one important news event and then says, "And now this," or some such phrase, and hustles us on to the next segment of the news program. The result of being hurried from one TV segment to another is that it's hard to discriminate between what's important and what's not. We lose our sensitivity for the things that are important in our earthly life, in community and country, and we easily lose our sensitivity for the one thing needful, that glorious eternal destiny to which the Spirit calls us. For example, the news anchor tells us about all the monumental changes in the communist bloc countries of Eastern Europe. Then the anchor says, "And now this," and we go to an advertisement for a razor. Or the anchor person tells us about the latest developments in the battle against cancer, and then says, "And now this," and we hear a beer commercial. Or the anchor on the news tells us about the serious matter of homeless people, and then the anchor person says, "And now this," and we see a perfume commercial. Those three examples demonstrate my point. If perchance something is amazing, and so much today is, the newscast hurries us on to the next item with "now this" or some similar statement. The result is that so many amazing things come to our attention, mingled with so many unimportant commercial things, that we end up unable to marvel at what truly is amazing. These wonders of technology are like feeding on banquet meals, day after day after day. After a while, you start to lose your sense of what's marvelous and what's not. Strange, isn't it? With all the technological marvels that surround us, we live in an age that has lost its sense of wonder. There is statistical evidence for this modern numbness to the marvels of God. Last March, a study was released in St. Louis. The study was done by the Search Institute of Minneapolis. The institute asked over 300 questions of some 10,000 American church members. Some of the results of this study were very interesting. Associated Press reported that the Institute discovered that only a third of U.S. Protestants have what is termed an integrated faith that embraces basic beliefs and their practical implications in life. Peter Benson, president of the Institute that made the study, said it found that faith is not particularly well developed in many church members, and programs to develop it are less than effective. That discovery suggests that there should be some practical applications of faith in your daily life. The wondrous call of God is something that you and I want to integrate into our daily life. How? How to do that? I suggest that we push the pause button and fasten our sights on the wonder that surpasses all other wonders, the wonder of God's love for you in Jesus Christ. You probably know what a pause button is. If you're watching a video cassette on a VCR and you need to leave the room for a minute or two, you can hit the pause button and the picture on the TV screen will freeze until you're ready to continue. As I said, I don't understand how to program a VCR, but I understand how the pause button works. I suggest that if you'd like your life to be filled with a sense of wonder, if you'd like to wake up each morning with anticipation for what the new day will bring, if you'd like to say with enthusiasm the words of the psalmist, "This is the day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it." If you want to be filled with God's life, freedom, and hope of glory, if you want faith to be relevant and integrated in your daily life, then I suggest you push the pause button of your mind and fasten your thoughts on the wonder of God's love. Don't let this fast-moving technological age rush you past the eternal truth that God's Holy Spirit has called you to life, to freedom, and to glory in Jesus Christ. The way to do that is to fix your attention each day upon the Christ-centered truths found in the Bible. The work of the Holy Spirit is a call to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is not busy promoting himself. No, the Holy Spirit calls people to Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 16, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into the whole truth. For what he will say will not come from himself, but he will speak what he hears and tell what is coming. He will glorify me," Jesus says, "because he will take from what is mine and tell it to you." In the fast-moving world of the 90s, you need to push the pause button and sit quietly each day in devotion with the Bible and with prayer. The prophet Isaiah says, "In returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." God's Spirit works through the Word and can integrate your faith and life as you quietly read and ponder his calling you to life, freedom, and glory in Jesus Christ. People who hunt know that a moving target is hard to hit. In the same way, when you and I let ourselves be constantly rushed along by all the amazing things of the 90s, it's much more difficult for the Spirit of Christ to bless you. It's much easier when you make yourself a still target for the searching Spirit of God, when you push the pause button of your busy life and quietly sit with your Bible and in prayer, and let the Spirit work through the Word to call you to life, freedom, and the glory that is yours in Jesus. The Spirit not only calls you to faith in Jesus Christ, he keeps you in the faith through the use of Word and the Holy Sacraments. Dr. Martin Luther says it this way in his explanation to the third article of the Creed: "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith." Dr. Luther says that the Spirit calls, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps people with Jesus Christ. That means that Christians need to be busy with the Bible. Not only are we called to faith, the Spirit wants to keep you and me in faith, even as we live in this fast-paced world. That happens when you and I are practiced in daily devotion, and therefore become discriminating viewers of TV. Keeping close to Jesus through the Bible and prayer means you'll be better equipped to sort out the images of television. You'll recognize the images and messages that are consistent with God's will, and you'll be a more discriminating viewer. For example, TV commercials suggest that the road to happiness comes from buying a product. However, the Bible tells us that happiness does not come from a purchase, but it comes only from the call of God to faith in Jesus Christ. If, as the study says, people are having problems integrating faith and life, we do well to start evaluating TV on the basis of our Bible study. Yes, indeed, the Spirit of God who calls people to Christ wants to keep Christians in the saving faith, even in the technological 90s. And now this. The world will continue to rush along, just as one news report leads to another, just as one commercial leads to still another. Life in this world rushes headlong from one thing to the next. It's going to stay that way. Society is living at a breakneck pace, and it isn't going to stop simply to make your life easier for you. But you don't have to be swept away and lose the relevancy of faith. The torrid pace of the 90s need not separate you from Christ's love. The Holy Spirit wants to keep you close to Jesus. St. Paul rings the changes of the constant, unchanging love of God in Christ in the last verses of his magnificent 8th chapter to the Romans. He says, "What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, won't he certainly also give us all things along with him? Who will accuse those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies us. Who will condemn? It is Christ who died, and more than that, he rose. He is at the right hand of God, and he prays for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will sorrow, hardship, or persecution, hunger or nakedness, danger or sword? As it is written, for you we are being killed all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all this, he who loved us helps us win an overwhelming victory. Yes, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, neither in the present nor in the future, no powers, nothing above or below, nor any other creature can ever separate us from the love God has for us in Christ Jesus our Lord." A love like that is worth a daily pause, a love that nothing can conquer, the life, the freedom, the hope of glory to which God's Spirit calls you in Christ is far and away the most amazing of all the amazing things of the 90s. Amen.